Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren. Alongside me is the whole team.
Yay. Kevin, fancy lady in the house tonight.
That was Kevin, by the way.
Yes, so thank you.
Kevin, Jane, Sarah, welcome. Jane, we've missed you.
Christian, welcome to you.
Yeah, welcome to you.
Whoa.
Welcome, yeah. Christian.
You know, if you haven't been with us, Jane has been out the last 2 weeks, but she is
no. I was out just last week, and then I'll be out next week.
She was out two episodes because we did record a special episode that aired on Thursday with our interview with Chris Beery, which you were not a part of.
Okay, nobody told me about this special episode.
It was a pretty fly episode.
I go
episode.
Out of town it was normal. For it one was week, and you break all the rules.
It was normal until we realized you weren't there, and then we're like, this is special.
Oh, did you do a RIP in memory of Jane?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so everybody's back. The gang is back. We got a good episode for you guys. We're going to do a sermon discussion on fleeing from sexual immorality, Kevin. And then we will also have a conversation with Jeremiah Spears. He's going to update us on Jared Young, as well as update us on what's going on in his life and his job. And we'll share a couple
of his mean, angry boss.
Yeah, his horrible boss.
Horrible bosses.
Also, we will give some announcements at the end of the show. But just as far as music goes over the next couple weeks, not this week, but over the next couple weeks, from all four of us, we're going to come up with four different songs.
Excuse you.
We're going to come up with four different songs that we love, but that other people probably will not like.
Oh, I'm going to love
gosh.
It.
Oh,
so,
music selection stresses me out.
Yeah.
But this is easy.
This is easy.
You've got songs that you like love. And no one else does.
Yeah.
You guys are going to, I'm going to blow your minds.
I have one That's song the off the Six Man soundtrack that is definitely going on there. And then we'll figure out the number three.
Okay, what's this week's music, though?
This week's music is from a band called the Get Up Kids. And
I love the Get Up Kids. Oh, my gosh. I love the Get Up Kids. I'm, like, dying inside. I love the Get Up Kids.
It's like the 60s and the Beatles just walked in. Jane's like,
no, seriously, I love them.
Just a good say band. The name. Say it, the Beat Up
say
Kids.
Name,
what are they called?
The Get Up Kids.
So, the Get Up Kids, that's the music for this week. But expect some of those kind of songs we like, but other people won't over the next couple weeks.
That's going to be great.
Yeah, so that'd be great. Christian, we'll start with me, and then we'll kind of.
I think this might be the first time that I will approve and like your music selection.
Well, hopefully.
If she does, she'll just interrupt you again.
Yeah. Up next,
hey, Christian.
We've got our sermon discussion, and yeah, stay tuned for that.
God bless is a man of conviction with evidence enough to convict him. So he stands by the side of the victim and strength enough to forgive him. Hopefully, nobody saw him. Hopefully, nobody saw him. Means justified by the ending. He's a sinner and saint for defending. The bastard by him that is bleeding, throw salt in the wounds of the needy, and the blood from the cut that is seething, then he gasps for the air we are breathing. Hopefully nobody saw him. Hopefully nobody saw him. Means justified by the ending. He's a sinner and saved for defending.
It's easy math. Surely you know that when you're one with someone, you're not just one physically, you're one spiritually. And he quotes now Genesis 2:24, and he goes, look, two will become one flesh. But good news is, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So we have this unity with Christ, and therefore, how are we to deal with immorality that is everywhere around us? Verse 18, he gives us the answer. Look, if you struggle with immorality, a guy hit me up on Facebook about 30 minutes before I taught. And he goes, man, I'm struggling with immorality. What do? I said, listen to the message. We'll talk later. Because the answer is verse 18. Look what he says. Flee from sexual immorality. Flee. Get the heck out. It's funny to me. Couples will struggle in relationships. And I'm like, buddy, what are you doing? You're insane. Why on earth would you be where you are? Get out. Flee. Run.
That was a clip from this past Sunday's message from Brad out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe verses 12 through 22. And somewhere around there. But anyways, the entire message had to do with fleeing from sexual immorality, but more to kind of hone that thought in a little bit is it sparked off of verse 12 where it said, all things are lawful, but not all things are permissible. And he's just talking to the church of Corinth of basically saying, look, you have the freedom in Christ to do what you want to do. And God, there is a level of grace with God. Yet, does that mean that it's permissible? Does that mean you should be doing that? Mm-hmm. And really, mm-hmm. Paul asked that question to the church of Corinth. But more importantly, he's asking the question to us. You have the freedom in Christ to, I think an example he gave was have a girlfriend sleep over at your house or whatever. Mm-hmm. But should you be doing that? No, because there that breaks your witness of Jesus Christ, and that gives you no, I guess, standing to talk to somebody about Christ and talk to somebody about Jesus when you yourself aren't living like Christ. Is that fair summation of the sermon?
That's fair.
Sarah?
I think it's very fair. It was interesting because I always just applied that verse, all things are lawful, not everything is beneficial, or, you know, choose your translation.
Yeah.
I kind of would apply that to everything. I don't think I ever realized that it was talking, I mean, it could apply to everything, but it was talking specifically about sexual morality.
For sure.
Never knew that. But there was something that he said yesterday about, how we're different than the world, we're different than the culture, and like we've heard this before, but the phrase that he said when we're thinking through decisions and should I do this, should I not do this, well, everyone is doing this and everyone, I mean, all the other Christians do this too, and he says, no, you are not everyone. And he said it like boldly, and then he kind of paused, and now I don't know, that like really affected me, because I do that, or I'll think like, what, you know, everyone else does this, and not even like the world does it, but believers do this too. And someone else asked me a question this week. She said, what are areas of your life that you justify because other believers do sin too in this area? And I was like, I'm so guilty of that, because I think, oh, it's okay for them, or they do it, so I could do it too. But in reality, no, sin is sin, you know?
Totally.
So that's what I was thinking about a lot yesterday during the message.
Yeah, Kevin, did you listen to the message?
Yep.
I know we've been having these dialogues across the board, and it probably took a 3-week break on the church discipline side of things, but back on the flee from sexual immorality type thing. Do you have any thoughts? I know we've had the discussions in here before.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'll start off like this. I have a guy that I know. Oh, without, you know, disclosing too much.
And no name dropping, dude.
No name dropping. I know there's a guy I know, and he was dating this girl, and they were both far from God, and they decided to be in a relationship. So they were in a relationship. They ended up moving in together, and they were both casually going to church. And then they started really going to church, and they both really started getting into it. And he's having all these meetings with the pastor, and he's getting all fired up and whatnot. He's still living with his girlfriend. And we kept having these conversations where he's like telling me about how fired up he is about church and all this stuff. And we had to have some conversations where it's like, hey man, like, I don't know. It's like, it's going to be pretty hard for you to do stuff. Like you're living with your girlfriend or whatever, but it's been like a month now. He kicked her out, like not like, you know, physically or anything, but they made an agreement to have her to move out and, you know, decide to just not be with each other, you know, biblically and to try to do things right. And watching that happen has been pretty awesome.
Totally.
But it's been a cool thing to be able to be in dialogue with him, because I think I've talked about my testimony being kind of boring. You know, I went to church and then I went more.
Yeah.
And I kept going and it was great. And but like when I was with my wife, when we were not married, we had all these rules.
Yeah.
Like all these rules that were kind of set up from the church.
Boundaries.
Yeah, boundaries, you know, don't be together in a house by yourself. Right. Don't be in the house together after dark and all this stuff that was so legalistic stuff. But like it was just straight fleeing, you know, and I even put on about 30 pounds to be less attractive to my wife so she wouldn't have a hard time sinning.
Right there. Well, right? I think it's definitely like you bring up this idea of like you know, that's this like legalism side of things, mm-hmm. but you're also saying like, yeah, but if I wasn't so strict about these rules or these boundaries, I probably wouldn't have been able to flee from right. sexual immorality.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think that there's a fine balance there for sure.
We're young men. Like, we're young men at some point in our yeah. lives. That's always true. We're young people.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey.
No, but there is something inside us that when we see a woman, like, we just want her. Totally. Like, it's just, it's there and it's normal and it's what it is. But it's like an addiction. Like, if I'm starving for food and I see a hamburger, my mouth waters. I'm like, I want to yeah. get that hamburger. And it's just in us. And so it's not something that we would do. It's not something you think about. And you're like, yes, this is A and B, and I'm going to make these decisions and whatnot. It just happens.
Totally.
So you have to almost set up these legalistic boundaries. So if you're struggling with, you know, pornography or whatever, or if there's any sexual morality, if you're sleeping with your girlfriend or whatever, you're not thinking about, well, I'm doing this because I need to do X, Y, and Z. It's like, no, I want it. It's like, yeah, which is very normal.
Yeah.
And it just happens unless you flee. You actually do things to set yourself up for success as opposed to, and I won't say set up yourself for failure, but just kind of the lack of preparation to be proactively fleeing. You know, you're going to get some action with the lady and it's going to be bad.
Right.
In the long run, you know.
Well, I think it is preparing yourself for failure if you don't set up things. Because I had a conversation with someone yesterday who she asked the question, like, why is it not okay for people to live together again? And we're talking about, like, if you are an alcoholic, you're not going to go hang out at a bar. That's just a dumb choice. Or if you're on a diet, you're not going to go hang out at a buffet, you know? And it's the same thing. If you're trying to abstain from, like, sexual morality or what have you, you're not going to go put yourself in the most tempting place possible.
Yeah. I'm just going to be around this person all the time that I'm madly in love with and have no accountability.
Right.
And not have sex with them. Like, no, you're going to get after it.
Yeah. I think that definitely brings up a lot of questions. And I think something that I was really glad Brad brought up, but I think that Sarah, you bring up a great point where it's like people are always going to question, well, why can't I live with the girl? I'm not even dating this girl. Why can't I live with this girl?
And you can't find explicitly in the Bible, do not live with your girlfriend.
Or I have a girlfriend and hey, we're going on a trip to Disneyland, let's say, and we're staying at a buddy's house. We're going to stay in the same place. Why is that not okay? It seems fine to me. And I feel like me personally, I've had a pretty firm stance against all that stuff. But then when somebody tries to ask me, like, well, why can't I do that? And I go, you know, because
it's not good.
It's not good. And you know, that's, I think that this is a great verse to going, you know what? You have the right, you don't have the right. It is totally lawful for you to do that. But does that mean it's permissible for you to do that? Does that mean it's beneficial for you to do that? Really, you may not end up sleeping with your girlfriend. You may end up not doing anything wrong with them, but is it benefit you? Is it, I don't know, showing Christ, shining Christ in your life? And I think that that's the hard line where it's like people don't quite get it.
And it's being above reproach, because if someone were to see you guys staying in the same place, they're not going to think, oh, I bet they slept on different places.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Well, it's the whole, I mean, it's kind of, it is in line with the stumbling block thing.
Right.
You know, you go, they say don't buy meat from the places where they sacrifice animals to foreign gods.
Yeah.
Because all you see is a person walking into a room where they sacrifice animals to foreign gods.
Right.
And all you're trying to get is a steak.
Right.
But people just see you walking in and it's like, oh, he's going to go, you know, he's going to get after with some foreign god. So it's like, you it's just kind of like, it's probably better not to do that. Plus, no, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Totally. You would want to be sexually active with the person you're in love with or with a member of the opposite sex.
Yeah. But Jane, did you have any thoughts?
Sorry. We're just plowing.
Oh, I'm just listening to you guys.
Yeah.
I really liked yesterday's sermon. It was one of those where I walked away thinking that I'm so thankful that this is my church, because this could potentially be like a really controversial thing, you know, of like different things that he brought up. But it was still spoken anyways. And he even made the comment of like, somebody's got to tell you this, so get ready, because here I go.
Mm-hmm.
But just seeing the passion behind that. And
I mean, just statistically, I'm sure that over 25% of our church is living
for sure
in that reality of living with somebody, sleeping not sleeping with your girlfriend, but sleeping over at your girlfriend's house, yeah. or, oh man, it's a late night. I don't want to drive home. I'm going to have to just spend the night at my girlfriend's house. Or, yeah, we live together, but we go to church. We're good. We don't sleep. We sleep in different beds. Yeah. Or,
that's not happening.
And he even said, like, looking out on the crowd while he was speaking, that he could pick out people that he had been counseling through infidelity or different things like that. So, like, it's in our church.
Totally. Absolutely.
And it's just not in the light necessarily. Like, you don't see it. You just think like butterflies and roses about everything mm-hmm. in church when there's so much sin day to day, sexual morality or not. I don't know. It just is. I don't know.
It's hard to talk about it without condemning and without making people feel like they're being judged or whatever. Cause mm-hmm. the fact that those people are coming to church is awesome. Like, mm-hmm. it's great. Yeah. Keep coming. Mm-hmm. But I think
at a certain point, you've got to go, keep coming. It's awesome. It's great. But your life needs to look different.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's just us as leaders, us as people in the church, whatever, just like you called your friend out, we need to go to those people and go in a loving way of going, hey, man, like, this is some things I noticed in your life. We got to get you out of this.
Right.
And it's at a point where, like, I know you love Christ. I know you want to be more like Christ. So mm-hmm. let's get you to do that instead of. But the answer that I've gotten in return of is like, well, it's just practical. We're just saving money on rent. And it's like, well just get out.
Yeah, I have an opportunity to be in both the couple's lives, the girl and the guy. And I had talked to her about it, and she had said, well, you know, same thing. I can't afford to live on my own. And I'm like, well, there's alternatives. Well, it's just really hard. And I'm like, yeah, people died for their faith convictions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not, so you're, it's a little inconvenience. And it's a huge inconvenience. I understand. I don't want to downplay it because it was a hard decision for them to make financially, mm-hmm. you know, and emotionally, of course, but. Like, it's just like people died for these convictions. Like, yeah. it's important that, you know, it's a little bit inconvenient. Mm-hmm. You're doing it for a reason, though. Like, it's not like you're just doing it just to, you know, be a good person.
Because Kevin told me to.
Yeah.
It's hard for them to see the blessing through obedience on the other side of things it's so convenient. And it makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know, like, if, you know, I don't think, you know, you said the blessing part of it. And I don't know if it's like your relationship's going to be, you know, bless tenfold, and you're never gonna have any problems if you don't have sex before you're married, and, you know, because you're building the fireplace and the fire's gonna be so hot and you've been building it in the living room, like Brad, you know, has used the analogy before. And I don't know if that's absolutely true. I think there's, you know, I think the analogy that he uses there is there's an appropriate place for fire. But, you know, is there a huge payoff, a huge reward for you abstaining from sexual immorality? You know, from,
I think,
not
the reward is that your witness is secure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And but, the fact that there's no sin now in between you and the Lord, like no yeah. huge sin there, you know?
Yeah. For my buddy that I'm talking about now, this guy is on fire. And he said there were so many people he wanted to tell about God. There were so many times that he wanted to be active in church. And because he had this in the back of his head that he knew he was living with his girlfriend, it was wrong. It was holding him back. And since then, I mean, every day the guy comes to talk to me, and he's just, you know, he's telling me about this new stuff that's happening, and he just keeps saying, and nobody can say anything because I'm doing it right. I'm living my life in the right way.
So, then his blessing is freedom.
Absolutely.
Now, one other thing that Brad brought up, want to get you guys' perspective on this, something I think I wrestle with pretty much on a daily basis, was this idea of, yeah, it is lawful for me to watch said television show or said movie, but it is permissible. And I don't know if you guys heard the same message, but I did. But when he said the thing about The Bachelorette, he called about 30 or 40 people out that I know.
Yeah.
And
he's talking about The Bachelor, not The Bachelorette.
Either way,
it's the same show.
I feel like they're different, but I'm just trying to justify it.
What?
I know they're not really, but yeah, I just like so, The Bachelorette.
You know, it was just one of those things where when he said that, I just started thinking, I'm like, what do I watch that's probably not, I have the freedom in Christ to watch it, but is it good for me to watch? Probably not. And it's like, I feel like I do a pretty good job of, Brad used that 300 analogy a while ago of like turning away, but that's really funny. Why am I watching 300 in the first place? And, you know, I think that Brad probably asks himself those same questions. And it's like, I think I make excuses for myself. I love movies. I'm such a big movie fan. And, I'm a big television fan, and it's like, why am I going to see those movies? Why am I watching that show in the first place? Even though, yeah, I'm going to avert my eyes, is it beneficial to me on the whole? Mm-hmm. And just want to get maybe some of your guys' thoughts on that, because Brad was definitely calling people out who work at our church, who go to our church, and it was a clear, like, quit it. And I definitely heard that, but on the other hand, I thought to myself, well, maybe The Bachelorette's a bad example, but I remember I used to go to people's houses and watch The Office, and it was a great community mm-hmm. feel, but truthfully, The Office, if you really break it down, it's probably not beneficial for me to watch. Mm-hmm. There's episodes where they curse, there's some definite, you know, that's what she said jokes. I mean, that's clearly sexual jokes, and it's all funny. I'm just begging the question.
Sure.
Pretty much nothing on television or movies are beneficial to me.
Well, I just watched McGee and Me reruns.
Oh my gosh, I loved McGee and Me.
Listen to but Salty. I'm just saying, like, where do you draw the line? Yeah. And that's maybe the question I brought up. It's like, is there a line? There shouldn't be a line.
I don't know, it's that same question of how far is too far. And totally. It says you're being an idiot, like you're missing
how stupid do you want to be?
Do you want to be? I think that same thing convicted me too. I watched The Bachelor, and I haven't in a while because I have started thinking like, what good does this do for me? A single girl who thinks, oh my gosh, not Ben, because he's not dreamy, but you know,
amen.
But I mean, even looking at that, or I think, let me get to my point because I'm rambling. Thanks, Christian. Hey, I don't have an answer, but I think that I have the Holy Spirit in me. We all do. We all know when we feel convicted by the Holy Spirit. So if I'm watching one of my favorites, Gossip Girl, I don't know if I should be watching it anymore because it's like it condones sexual immorality. Yep. It condones drugs, alcohol, so many things that I don't define my life by. So then why am I watching it?
Right.
Someone, I don't know where the line is either because I struggle with that too, but like someone once made the analogy, if someone, like we can watch it on TV, but if real people came and did those things in front of us, we would be absolutely appalled.
Yeah.
You know, someone really came in our house and started like swearing a bunch or saying the ton of that's what she said jokes, yeah. Like be like, please stop.
Or like Brad's example, if he made out with some girl on stage, like infidelity to his wife, that's in TV too. And like it's condoned in television.
Yeah, that's hard.
So I guess that's what I'm saying is like, is the line just clearly drawn of pretty much like, it's pretty much impossible to watch television or movies. And that's, you ask the question, how far is too far or whatever. It's like, it's too far already.
Yeah.
And I just thought that during the message, and I need to wrestle through that. I need to wrestle through, what does that look like for me, a movie and television lover? And there's some television shows out there where, Survivor.
Yeah.
Really, there's not a lot going on, but you know what? There's cleavage on the show.
Yeah.
There's some, relationships between two or three people, and it's like, this probably is not good for me to watch.
Yeah.
There's all these podcasts I listen to, all of the above, and I just go,
so
maybe
then
nothing.
Is our measuring stick whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is blah, blah, blah? Think about those things.
But then your minuscule
window
to what you can
of opportunity is zilch.
Yeah, you just don't ever watch anything.
I look at that and I think, oh my gosh, I'm being so selfish because I want to watch Gossip Girl or I want to listen to this song or I want to watch this movie.
Like, is there room though for like, because I watched The Office like with some friends or whatever and like we had so much fun and it was camaraderie, but then again, no, we can have that without TV.
God doesn't want you to have fun, all right?
I know.
I think that's where the legalism things comes in, where it's
for
like,
sure.
Well, are you being too legalistic? You can't sit around and watch an episode of Up All Night or Parks and Rec. You know what I mean? It's like,
I think, okay, here's something that I was even talking to Cambria, Jeremiah's wife, about. Of like my mind is the type where if I see something, it's stuck in my head. Mm-hmm. So like I can't watch scary movies because every time I'm walking down the dark hallway to my bedroom, like Chucky just jumps out at me in my brain, you know, like those sorts of things. I can't. Or the girl climbs out of the TV from The Ring. All those things, like I cannot put that in my mind because
I was reading my Bible when everyone else was watching me. That movie.
Kevin, so. Shut up.
I was in the corner crying, so it's fine. I hated that movie so much.
So I think the answer is different for everyone. We know our limits. We know our boundaries. We know what's good for us to watch and what's not. And we have the opportunity to listen to the Holy Spirit in, yeah. Yes, Jane, like, or no, Jane, whatever.
Yeah. I think it does pose the interesting question of not much is beneficial to
not
me
much.
In media.
It's a good thing and, to wrestle through.
And so I think I've got to look at what am I communicating to a junior higher and to a high school student
for
that is
sure.
Okay. Yeah. And I think I have to live by maybe a different standard, but I really go, really, do I have to live by a different standard? Or is the standard that a parent of a junior higher would accept, is that the standard for everybody who's a follower
right.
of Christ?
Because you would never want someone to say, well, I mean, I saw Christian walking out of that movie, so it's fine for me.
Yeah.
Like, you'd never want that flipped on
and
you.
Absolutely. But my thing would be like, well, I that movie is not like affecting me in any way, shape, or form. That'd be my response, which is not correct. But right. what I'm saying is that would be my response to that junior hire. And then they'd go, screw this guy.
Or they'd say, like, well, if it doesn't affect Christian, then it shouldn't affect me. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So that's the same question you asked for The Office. So, honestly, there's even cartoons where it's like, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
those cartoon swears sure do get me every time.
Family Guy?
Yeah, South Park.
Oh, I do not watch that show.
I'm just saying there's shows
that's
out there
like,
where
I've never seen a more dirty show than Family Guy.
Really?
I could name 15 others besides Family Guy.
Wow.
And Kevin's in all
don't
of them.
Don't you see my angel halo on my head right now?
But hey, I think this is a good conversation that maybe we should continue as the weeks go on in 1 Corinthians. But if you haven't listened to the message, it just begs a lot of interesting questions that I think Brad just gave a feeler for, but I really think you should discuss this with a friend, a spouse, your family, what is beneficial to you? And honestly, like, where does your witness fail in terms of media, in terms of sexual immorality? And just ask those questions. What does that look like for you in your life? So up next, we've got some more Get Up Kids music, and we've got an interview with Jeremiah Spear. So stay tuned. All right, welcome back. And the Spoutcast team as a whole, we've really wanted to get Dave Sather here in this studio.
Who's Dave Sather?
Well, Dave Sather is the Well Community Church's audio director. Mm-hmm. So technically, he's Dave Johnson's boss.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Bring him in.
That's right.
Bring him in.
Now, Dave is kind of being a big baby about the whole thing.
Wow.
So if you know Dave, tell him to get in here. But
let's make fun of him right now. Okay, ask me a yes or no question.
Yes or no? Hey, Kevin, am I your favorite Spoutcast person?
All right. But, you know, we decided.
That was lame.
Yes.
We decided to get second best. And
that's pretty mean.
I'm just kidding. We got faithful and true 46 episode listener, Jeremiah Cleto Spears.
Cleto?
Didn't know that was my middle name, did you? Yeah.
Shut up. No, that's a real
totally
deal.
Totally Cleto, yeah. C-L-E-T-O. It's not his oh, come on.
It's not his middle name.
You had me hook, line, and sinker, man. Yeah, me awesome. Too. Cleto.
Wow.
Changed hello? It. Yeah. What is it really?
Christopher Ned. I have two.
Oh, Ned.
Yeah, Ned. Yeah.
Where's Ned coming from?
Grandpa's name. My mom's dad.
Okay. Yep. And Christopher...
Ned. Because I was born three days after Christmas. Yeah.
Oh, it's really?
Kind of lame, yeah.
3 days? I was born 6 days after Christmas.
Counted.
Whoa. Yeah. Whoa. It's close.
Now, Jeremiah was kind of a last-minute find for a guest here, but you guys
Man,
have
way
heard-
to build up that confidence for Jeremiah, yeah. huh?
Second best, last minute.
Jeremiah, we are so glad that you are here.
I had to go out and get my own chair. Yeah, that's how we get treated these days. Huh?
We found a young man sleeping in the trash cans, and we thought, hey, show up. We'll ask you some questions.
Jeremiah,
and,
we value you.
I remember the first time I came in, I actually got a watch for participating. Like, they paid me on the way out.
Yeah,
it was pretty sweet.
Way. Wow. Not anymore.
Well, nowadays, we just...
it's in the mail, Kev.
Yeah. But honestly, Jeremiah just asked me 30 seconds before we started recording. He's like, hey, so what are we talking about? And I just kind of winked at him. And I said, yeah. And that's about all I
said.
That's
how we roll now.
So, but I do actually have one agenda.
You're getting it today.
Is this some amateur like place?
Listen, I wasn't here last week to dish it, so here I am.
Now, I did have one question I wanted to ask. Probably 15 episodes ago, Jared Young came in
really
here.
Really short interview.
Well, no, then we'll get it.
Giving it
you
to
guys him. Are railing on me.
I think Christian hates us right now.
But Jared Young, if you remember, came in probably 15, 20 episodes ago, talked about him and his wife heading out to Thailand. And Jeremiah is actually close friends with Jared Young. And Jared has made his way out to Thailand. They're in Thailand right now. You can kind of catch up on their Facebook a little bit. But maybe you could give us a quick update, Jeremiah, because we don't really want to hear about your life. We'd rather hear about
Yeah, that's okay. I'll do secondhand. Yeah, you know, I was just talking to Jared the other day. I FaceTimed with him right when they... got into
Technology.
Thailand. Yeah, you gotta so love great. It, you know? I was talking to him about missionaries back in the olden days, and I'm like, can you imagine what it would have been like to have to leave all of your friends and family and go to Thailand and then, like, write a letter and then, like, maybe hear back in a couple of months or something? So now yeah. I got FaceTime. So anyway, got to FaceTime him and chat with him about him, how him and his wife are doing, and still getting used to the time change, and kids were waking up at 3 a.m. on the dot because noon for us.
Right.
And, wow. But they just got their house.
The
so,
house
which
looks
is great.
Awesome.
Yeah. Got their house. They just bought a bunch of stuff for the house and they'll be moving into their house today, which right now it's about, 4 a.m., 5 a.m. there right now.
Okay.
So they'll be moving in there and, they're doing really good. They're really tired.
I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but, it's been really fun to be able to chat with them. Cambria's been texting with his wife. Cambria's my wife, by the way. And they've been texting back and forth, just seeing how the kids are doing and getting acclimated. New Tribes is really good at making sure you're not idle. Like, you get there and they got schedules for you. They give you calendars. It's like color-coded. You're going to go do this day at this time. You're going to be here, do that. And yeah. So they kind
they've
of get them.
The
they throw them right
out.
In. Yeah.
And so when you guys, basically, like, when do you guys think the next time you'll chat is? Just whenever?
Yeah, we actually set up a meeting once a week to just FaceTime with each other and just chat about life and hold each other accountable and just make sure everything's going good with him and the family and stuff like that. So
well,
hopefully
keep us
this,
updated here on the podcast.
For sure. I'll call in, actually, whenever
you'll
I talk
call?
To him next. I'll call in. Maybe I'll actually play my recording this
I
time.
I don't even know... Nobody's called in forever.
We haven't given the phone number out in a while.
Oh, yeah.
321 spot.
We just used to have some guy call in and just pretend to be all these different celebrities, and I was kind of tired of that guy.
Nope.
No.
He's great. I don't know who you are referring to.
I got a question.
Yeah.
How you doing?
How am I doing?
Yeah.
I'm doing really well. I had a hard time when they left, to tell you the truth. Jared and I were really close. We met every week and hung out and chatted about life, and we were in life group together, and... I didn't know it was going to be as hard for me as it was to like have a friend leave like that. And basically it's like
this
for life. See ya.
This is a safe place to cry.
Yeah. You know, maybe later.
All right, we'll get some Kleenex in here.
Thank you. Thank you. I can blow my nose on microphone.
Soft shoulder. Yeah,
thanks.
You can come right here. So you guys are pretty tight.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah. I've enjoyed his company, his family. Cambria and I and his wife, and Jared, we all four of us would go out to dinner all the time and lunch, and we just really sparked a good relationship. So it's nice to be able to, it's nice to have FaceTime, like Sarah said, just with technology now. Mm-hmm. It's just nice to be able to call each other, look at each other in the face on camera and chat. And I don't know. I hate talking on the phone. So it's nice to be able to look at each other in the face. And
is that why we're friends?
Probably. All right. Probably.
Yeah. I hate talking on the phone as well. Jeremiah, how's, I mean, for me, WSM over the past 2 months has been just pretty busy with junior high, high school retreats, but just checking in, you doing well? Like, I don't talk to you about your job outside of the Spoutcast, but when it's on the Spoutcast, I'll ask personal questions.
Yeah, so. I love my job. I really do. I love what I get to do, meeting with students, meeting with leaders. Got to have dinner with a student last night, and we just went to Red Robin and hung out and chatted. And for me, that's what I love to do. I love to be able to build into students. And I really appreciate and see the value in life groups. So to kind of oversee life groups and really encourage leaders to really disciple students, to really move out of this old model of I show up to church for 20 minutes and then I'm out, to really build into students outside of life groups. So it's been really, really fun for me. I really like it.
Now, Jeremiah, you and I, we went to if you're unfamiliar with FCA, FCA is this like
Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Mm-hmm. And Jeremiah and I did an FCA or organization thing at our Fig Garden campus this past week. And are you comfortable with me sharing what happened?
Sure. Now that it's really on, now that it's on. Yeah, I don't have a choice.
Now, this is to me really funny. But Jeremiah, you feel bad about it at this point.
I do. I feel horrible because the thought never even crossed my mind.
Can't even wait to hear.
Now, essentially, FCA at Wawona Middle School, they provide a program at our Fig Garden campus once a month for all junior hires at FCA to come to. And so how would you describe the demographic of kids at FCA?
Yeah. Well, FCA is, FCA at Wawona is very different than FCA in general.
I meant Wawona.
FCA at Wawona has really become, I feel like, the Christian club. It's totally like the Christian club, but the Catholic club. Because most of the students who come are Hispanic or African-American, and 90-some-odd percent are Catholic.
Yeah.
And I don't really know if any of them even play sports. Because every student I asked, hey, so you play sport? And they're like, no. And
it's it really is the only Christian club on campus.
Yeah.
And yeah, just the demographic is far from white.
Yeah, totally. But one white student.
Yeah, there was one white student. And the thing is like for us, I don't necessarily know if these kids are ever going to jump into WSM, but it's kingdom work. And I think these kids, they need somebody to provide them structure and whatnot. Totally, and they're doing good stuff over there at Wawona.
Absolutely.
And so we basically set them up at our Fig Garden campus for like an hour long session of games. We show a video. We had some small group questions, and Jeremiah and I got paired up with a group of about 8 kids in a small group session. And do you remember the kid's name?
No, but it'll come to me if you tell the story.
So we're sitting there, and one of the questions,
Fabian.
Okay, yeah. So one of the questions we're talking about is, if you guys know the scripture, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life with Christ Jesus our Lord. And so basically Jeremiah is saying, do you guys know the scripture? Do you guys know what this means? And he's saying, for the wages of sin is death. And everybody looked a little confused. Mm-hmm. And I think that they just hadn't heard this verse or was kind of too big of a word for them. And they kind of tilted their head like, what does that mean? And Jeremiah said, well, what do you guys think wages means? And it was pretty silent for a second or so. And then all of a sudden Jeremiah says to Fabian, he says, Fabian, imagine this is be a wage. Let's say you were mowing my lawn. And
wow. So Christian looks at me with this like funny look and I'm like, I don't get it. What's the look for? And I just keep on going.
Cause and I looked at him like, dude, you can't do that. Like, and but he just, no big deal. Yeah. Just moving on.
So, yeah, for me, it was, what is a job a student in middle school would do? I used to mow lawns. Like, I would mow someone's lawn. So, if you mow my lawn,
he's trying to explain what wages mean.
So, you're racist.
But the racial implications, I didn't think about it. And
honestly,
he didn't say anything until we got out of group. And he was like, do you Did you really? And I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? What are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, my bad.
Hey, man.
Stuff like that all the time.
I don't think really they took offense to it. It was.
Oh, no. Yeah. No. And I don't even think anybody batted an eye other than me. And it was like,
Jeremiah's a racist.
Jeremiah.
What did we hire?
The white guilt was just weighing on Christian over there.
Yeah, it's been fun to be able to partner with Wawona. It's a nice partnership, I think, for us, and I think for them. They have a couple of teachers who really love the students, really love God, and want to see these students grow. But they have like 30, 35 students who come to FCA at Wawona. And so they're
That's
like,
great for junior high.
Yeah,
totally.
And they were like, oh, we don't really know. We kind of need some help. So for us to be able to come behind them with stuff we already have, like curriculum and video, and just provide that for them, such a great opportunity. And they get to use the Fig Garden campus, which is super awesome.
Yeah, I would agree. And kind of last thing as we close out, you got some mission stuff coming up. And last time you came on, you talked about some mission stuff regarding WSM last summer.
Yeah.
And we've got some WSM Well Student Ministries summer mission trips coming up.
Yeah.
Maybe give us a 30,000 foot view of what's going on. What are you hoping for these trips?
30,000.
Yeah.
It's a helicopter view.
10,000.
Yeah. How about I go 28? Right. Is that good? Right. Okay.
You know, just what's going on and
bird's eye.
You know, hey, what are some things for if you're a parent out there of a WSM kid or we know a couple WSM kids listen, like, hey, what are the trips and what are you guys planning on doing?
Yeah, right now we've got two trips, one to Ecuador, one to Costa Rica, and what was interesting is that we had the chance to do, you know, Costa Rica with Students International. It's what we did last year.
Right.
So we're going to do that again. And then we decided let's open it up for more students to be able to go. But taking a giant group of students down to Costa Rica, I wasn't really a fan of. I don't like invading countries. I like taking smaller groups. And so, so we said, can we look at another group or another area? John Laurenti brought up Ecuador.
John Laurenti,
missions director, brought up Ecuador. And so really worked out for us to go to Ecuador. So taking 14 students to Costa Rica, might be 15 right now. That's how many we actually have, 15 total people, four leaders, 11 students, which is awesome because I didn't think we were going to be able to fill up both.
Yeah.
And then right now for Ecuador, we've got seven people-ish going. And so we've got about seven more, let's say five more with students, five more student spots open to go to Ecuador. And we'll be working with, an organization called Youth World out there, really doing whatever they want us to do.
Can I just guess what their logo is?
Oh, sure.
Does it say youth? And then there's a picture of a globe.
Oh, you bet.
Nailed it.
Nice.
Booyah. Yeah. So, I'm pumped to go out there and work with them. We'll be either doing construction or working in an orphanage or something like that.
Nice.
And I'm really, really looking forward to that one. I think that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to Costa Rica too. Get to go back and see a lot of the same people we saw last year and continue those relationships. We have one returning student from Costa Rica, and he wants to go to the same site he went to, which was super awesome.
Yeah.
The cool thing about Costa Rica is we opened up 10 spots for students. Six of those are middle school students. Yeah. So eighth grade going to be ninth graders, which is pretty awesome to have eighth graders that stoked on going on missions trips. So I'm pretty pumped about that.
I was not excited for things like that when I was in eighth grade.
Yeah.
Really?
I didn't even know about missions trips. So
I love digging ditches in foreign countries.
Ooh, yeah. No way.
Well, Jeremiah, we'd love to get an update from you after the summer's over. I know that's totally, a ways away, but I mean, you're going to be gone for basically 3.5 weeks worth of mission trips. And so definitely be praying for you and want to get an update from you when you come back in. We love to have you on the show because you're one of our original fans.
Awesome.
Even though you're second tier to Dave Sather, apparently.
I got to get my own chair.
And you're sleeping in the dumpster in the back.
No big deal.
Well, hey, man, thanks for coming on. And go for it.
He needs friends. So if you want to be friends with Jeremiah, he's got a spot, an open spot for a friend.
Why? Because he lost Christian right now?
No, Jared.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah,
thanks.
Bringing it back around, Kevin.
I'm going to be honest. I might try to.
The heart issues, man.
I want to try
there
to slide
be,
in.
Like, an do it. Mm-hmm.
Done it.
Yeah. It'd be good.
There is no waiting list.
So. Let me tell you, have I told the story on the show about the Gatorades?
No. Yeah, I think maybe.
What?
Well, I'll just share it really quick. Last story, but Jeremiah is a really good friend. He tries at being a friend really hard.
I remember this, I think.
And Jeremiah and I were going to a WSM event, and I said, he's like, hey, man, you want a Gatorade? I'm like, yeah, bro. Get me the yellow one. And he's all, yeah, totally. Oh, yeah. You got it, man. And I'm like, all right, dude, cool. And I went and got some pizzas at Da Vinci's or at Joe's Pizzeria, and then you went over to get some drinks and like, I'm sitting in the car. I've got the pizza. It's like 10 minutes into it. And I'm like, dang, what the heck is taking him so long? And poor Jeremiah is colorblind, and he doesn't know the color yellow. But he doesn't want to disappoint me because I said, dude, get me yellow. Don't give me anything else.
No, he said, I don't like anything else. I just like the yellow. And so I feel all this pressure. I got to get the yellow. I asked the guy at the desk or at the counter. I'm like, hey, do you guys have the yellow one? And he's like, oh, no, we don't have the yellow one. And I'm like, no yellow one? I'm like, but, oh, crap. So
he's trying to be a really good friend to me because he wants to get me what I asked for.
So then I call Christian. Hey, dude, so what kind is the yellow one? And he's like, lemon lime. Sure enough, they've got lemon lime. Got yeah. to me.
But
so.
He couldn't see the color yellow.
That's amazing.
I felt bad.
You
went out of your way.
Yeah. If you want to apply.
Yeah.
I did it. Yeah. If you want to apply to be Jeremiah's friend, he goes to lengths to get you what you want.
To get you what you want.
I want I'm trying to think of a color of Gatorade that there, it doesn't exist.
Yeah. And then I just stand there for 10 minutes. Uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh. Thanks.
Well, hey, man, thanks for coming on. We'll get some updates from you. We have you on every couple months. So thanks for being here.
Thank you.
All right. Up next, some announcements, and we'll close out the show.
Thanks for joining us today.
I was just watching Gossip Girl. Sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, we're going to close out the show. Just a few announcements. On March 24th, we have Discovery.
I'll be there. I'm a table host.
I will be there as well.
Wow. Hey, that's awesome.
Party,
everyone.
Party.
So everyone, you can meet Christian and Jane live at Discovery March 2012.
We'll have our own table signing
I'm
autographs.
I'm wearing my Spoutcast t-shirt.
Yes,
are you really?
No, oh, you should. Oh, now you have
not?
To.
So if you're interested in learning about The Well, learning about behind the scenes, getting to know Brad a little bit more.
And Christian too.
Also Jane and Christian. You can come sign up online or call the office and they can get you signed up. That's March 24th from 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. and you get free breakfast and free lunch.
Chick-fil-A,
yummo.
Vegetarians love Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I bet you do. And Chris Beery's new worship song comes out next week for free online.
Freezies.
It's called All Glory, which he gave us a preview last week on our episode. So if you want to hear it, go check out last week's episode and you can go hear it.
Yeah, it's episode 45. And
45.
Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/spoutcast or twitter.com/thespoutcast. Also, we have an Instagram. Email us at thespoutpodcast@gmail.com.
Hey, and Jeremiah did mention our phone number.
He did. I think I may have deleted that account.
Oh,
what? I feel like that should have been a team discussion.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Ample rank, Dad.
Well,
Louise.
I noticed you guys haven't said anything. I've been working out the last couple days, but you guys haven't said
okay.
You look really
this
handsome.
This is the thing though.
Take
Christian
your shirt off.
Talked.
No, leave your shirt on. Christian talked about his Stairmaster experience, and it's like the wussiest thing I've ever heard.
Wow!
I'm sorry. I just was on a roll. He talked about, like, he'd walk, and then he'd be afraid that his foot would get stuck. So, and it's like, walk faster or go higher on the stair stepper, and the issue is not
even there. You're just
getting
thrown. You have size 4 feet. No. I have size 13 feet. So tell me when you get to size 13 feet, and we'll have this conversation again.
I'll
all right,
wear
Jane.
Your shoes on.
All right,
no,
Jane.
I will not.
Yeah, put
wear
on
your
some
shoes.
Skis and do the stairmaster.
This is a spout.
And
we're
we
out.
Are out.